Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text which serves as a basis for our reflection this morning is the Old Testament reading from Deuteronomy 8, now sharing some selected verses. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Then your heart will become proud if you forget the Lord your God. So far the reading of our text. Please be seated. I heard a story once about a little boy who never spoke until he was 4 years old. His parents were worried sick, and they took him to specialist after specialist. He was tested and tested yet again, but the results always came back negative as to any explainable reason why he couldn't talk. And then one day at breakfast, he put down his spoon, he sat up straight, and in a clear voice with well-articulated words, he said, "This porridge stinks." His parents were astonished. Tears of joy flowed freely down their faces as they jumped up and down with excitement. Surely this was a miracle. Finally, after the initial shock wore off, Dad asked him, "You know, son, what happened after all these years and all that testing? Suddenly you're able to speak." The little boy replied politely, "Up until now, everything has been just fine." Oh, that it would take us so long to complain. And prayerfully, if we did, it would be over something far more significant than our breakfast cereal. This week, we'll be celebrating our nation's 149th birthday. My prayer is that we will personally take to heart Moses' words to the children of Israel about the good land the Lord was giving them, and his warning to not ignore the commands of the Lord and become so proud that they forgot the one who blessed them. Today, we too are surrounded by such wealth, by opportunity and freedoms. Pray we don't take our blessings so for granted that in pride-filled arrogance, we forget the Lord and so waste his gifts by our complaining. Sadly, there is one freedom that we especially enjoy in Canada, whether come Canada Day or in fact any day of the year, and that's the freedom to complain. Let's see, what might we complain about? Well, they say, if you don't like the weather in Edmonton, just wait 5 minutes, and of late that certainly seems true. Yet that doesn't seem to stop, I think all of us at some point, from complaining in 4 minutes that it's too hot, too humid, too cold, too windy, too wet, too dry, and surely too uncertain. From the news this week, lightning has killed at least 79 people in the past 24 hours in the Indian states of Bihar, Jharkhand, and Madhya Pradesh, mostly farm workers working in fields, the BBC reports. Work is work. We can't stop because of the weather, a farmer from Kantibutia told The Guardian. And further from earlier this spring, violent storms have caused widespread devastation across Uruguay, with many people killed and more than 2,000 left homeless. President Tabar Vasquez declared a state of emergency. Durazno and Paso de los Toros, both in central Uruguay, recorded 162 millimeters and 131 millimeters of rain, respectively. Further east, Trente Tres was inundated with 191 millimeters of rain in 24 hours. On the other side of the Andes, central Chile was hit with torrential rain, triggering landslides that fouled the capital city's water supply. A national emergency was declared in Santiago as its 7 million residents awaited the return of clean and safe water. Imagine, that is more than the total population of all three prairie provinces combined. Complaining. When it comes to complaining, who could forget the government? Though I'm not sure which would come first in a tally of complaints, the weather or the government. I've listened lately to complaints, both here and I can assure you even in the East, about those who currently govern us at every level in this country. But I can't help but also remember that before those who serve us now were elected, I was hearing all the very same complaints, albeit usually from different people, but not always. I think it was a talk show the other day where I heard someone say, if this country were just run by the citizens, we'd be in better shape. I couldn't help but think, excuse me, but isn't it already? And which citizens do you think would please you in particular? Then just get all your neighbors to agree with you and you're sure to have them elected. From the news last fall, the Tajikistan government is arresting, imprisoning, and torturing members of the country's peaceful political opposition. Human Rights Watch and the Norwegian Helsinki Committee said today, the government is also targeting perceived critics abroad, seeking their detention and extradition back to Tajikistan, and has forcibly disappeared critics abroad, only to have them reappear in Tajik custody. Deteriorating human rights situations there have worsened dramatically in the last year with the forced closure of the leading opposition party. Complaining. Of course, like the little boy in the opening story, when it comes to complaining, there's nothing quite like food. Who among us hasn't complained about food at some point in your life? If you're honest, we all have. Like Goldilocks, it's either too hot or too cold. Or we don't like it spicy, or we do. It's undercooked or overcooked. And vegetables we're not a fan of. And we're not nuts either about smelly fish. Leftovers again? The menu's too boring. The food too bland. The cost too high. And when I go out for supper to my favorite restaurant, the waiting line is so annoying. Can't some of those people ever stay home and eat there? From this week's news, nearly 200 refugees from Boko Haram have died of starvation and dehydration in the northeastern Nigerian city of Bama in the past month, Doctors Without Borders said Wednesday. The refugees speak of children dying of hunger and having to dig new graves every day. A catastrophic humanitarian emergency is unfolding at a makeshift camp on a hospital compound where 24,000 people have taken refuge. And it is said there one in five of the 15,000 children are suffering from severe acute malnutrition and face imminent death. Complaining? Oh, let's not forget the traffic and the construction and the road conditions and the educational system and healthcare and mosquitoes and dandelions and even, if I'm not careful, complaining about people who complain, which is certainly not my intent. My goal this morning is simply for us to recognize complaining is a freedom we exercise, sadly, with fervent devotion, no matter what our age, no matter what our circumstances, no matter what the time of year. But more than that, it's a freedom abused, and that is far from pleasing to God. It's a freedom abused that both springs from and gives birth to a multitude of sins. Is it possible that we as a nation and as individual Christians within it have forgotten what the Lord has commanded of us? Is it possible that we have forgotten to honor and show respect to those who govern us, whether we accept or agree with their decisions or not, to respect them anyway? Is it possible that we have failed to honor the reputation of our neighbor with our words and actions? And dare we ponder for a moment just whom Jesus considers our neighbor to be? Is it possible that we have forgotten the commandments about coveting, as we long to have what our neighbor may have and in so doing become bitter and dissatisfied? Is it possible that as we set priorities for our lives and leisure over the summer months, that only secondarily, if that, do we remember that to worship the Lord is a choice we make? Is it possible to have taken for granted the multitude of blessings which surround our lives each day? Perhaps it's because we have so much more that often we value so little, even life itself. We have so much, yet want so much more, often even at the expense of our personal relationships and time with our families, at the expense of our health and even our faith. So richly blessed, we often fall victim to the very present danger of complacency and arrogance, and in so doing we forget the Lord, our maker and provider, as we complain about everything under the sun. There is one who never complained. Of course, you know the answer. It's not a squirrel, it's Jesus. Though he had no permanent address, who in some ways at times in his life lived much more like a refugee, as Luke records, for the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. While we pursue things and worry about having more, Jesus taught, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we put on? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Blamed for our sins, charged for our complaining, convicted for our forgetting and our breaking of the Lord's commandments, he did the inconceivable. He willingly suffered and died in our place without complaining. Isaiah said, we all like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. He did that for you and for me, for people who live in a land that is so richly blessed that no one ever reads of people risking their lives to escape our borders. But you do hear of people, Christians included, people of grace included, pastors included, complaining continually about the hardships we bear, what we have to put up with, and how others are not doing what they should be doing. Can you imagine what it would be like if there were a switchboard in heaven and the number of complaint calls it would receive? Surely there'd be gazillions every day, even from people who claim that they don't believe in God. One might ask them where they got his number. How much better would it be if the calls from God's people, the daily ambassadors of his kingdom by his commissioning to this nation and the world, if those calls were continual words of praise and thanksgiving, words that honored God and joyfully and generously chose regularly to serve their neighbor, no matter who they might be or how they might live or worship. There's a familiar saying, I think familiar to many here. I complained because I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet. People of God, we have shoes. We have so much more. You will go home today, you will eat today, you will drink water that comes clean from a tap without a second thought, you will sleep in a bed today with a roof over your head, knowing the 24-hour protection of police, fire, and medical services, and even the freedom to complain. Isn't it time we exercised our freedom to complain less, to recall more the Lord's blessing, and to proclaim more and more his praises through lives of thanksgiving as citizens of Canada, but even more as citizens of his kingdom who choose to honor him? In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.